Coming up next on Sound Doctrine.
So there's no peace of mind apart from knowing all things are created around us, and that behind our own bodies, think about it, our own bodies, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, and how a doctor cannot believe in the living God is beyond me. But there's blinders. But they look deeper and deeper into the cells, into the DNA, into the structure and everything, and it goes so deep. They still haven't got to the bottom. We are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Whether you're talking about a home, a car, or that smartphone you have in your back pocket, we realize it didn't just come together by itself or random chance. Someone designed and made it for a purpose. So why do some have such a hard time believing that God created you and me, the world, and everything in it? Today on Sound Doctrine, we take you back to the beginning and the creation account recorded for us in Genesis. The first verse in our Bibles speak of God's creative work. Here's Pastor Jeff.
Now, it has been proven that it is impossible for a complex cell to have evolved in the last 10 million years. And so what they do is they add 25 million more. I mean, given enough time, you can do anything. Anything can happen, you know. And so they're always adding more billion years, you know, or whatever. It's a total ridiculous scenario. Now, verse 1 says that God created. So God is the cause, created is the effect. And he brought forth, out of nothing, the world. Now, when you look at evolutionists and what they believe versus what the Bible says God did, it takes more faith to believe in the evolutionist than simply how God just puts it to us. Puts it to the world. In the beginning, I created the world. Well, then, you know, where did God come from? Oh, he always was. He always was. He's God. Eternal. And then he created the world. I mean, it's so simple. Again, the king's naked. It's just blatant. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3, which we really got into on the Alaska cruise, because we got into the whole thing of creation, and it was so interesting as we were out there in this, gosh, you talk about beauty and the whales and the eagles and the this and the that, and just the land, just Alaska. It's unreal in the summer, okay? We went through this, and it's Psalm 19. The heavens declare, they tell the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day into day uttereth speech. Night into night shows knowledge. It screams, there's a creator. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. All of creation testifies, you know, and preaches that there's a God. It's like this watch, you know. Guess who made it? A watchmaker. No, I think it just came together. It evolved. And it just evolved, and that's it just ended up on your wrist. You see, that's how ridiculous it is. When Abraham, and there's tradition, this is tradition, but Abraham, many believe, that came to the Lord by just looking in the stars. His dad was the owner of an idol shop, and he just looked at the stars, and he realized God spoke to him through the heavens, through the stars. And he realized there is a God that created all this. And so he got very angry that his dad was into idols and you know, always making these stupid stone idols. So he went into the idol shop late at night, and he took a sledgehammer and he busted every idol to pieces. In the morning, his dad walked to the idol shop with him. But then what he did was, when he broke them all to pieces, he put it up, he put the sledgehammer in the arms of the big idol up in the back of the shop. So when they walked in the shop, his dad said, "Abraham, you don't even think of what happened. This is crazy. Would you know anything about this? And he goes, no, but look at that big guy in the back. He did it. You know? And it's, you laugh, but I mean, that's how stupid idolatry is, man. They look at the stick and they worship it, and yet they cook with it. You know, and then they make it in something, put enshrine it and a stone and all these things that people worship. No, we serve the living God who makes himself known. I love this in Romans chapter 1. Again, going back to that chapter. In Romans 1 and verse 19, he says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. He brings himself and reveals himself in our hearts. For God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. And so how God took the atom, and it's totally unseen, but used the atom to, you know, to bring the structure and to create what he has created. So his creation is awesome. Moses, who wrote Genesis, said in Psalms 90, and the Psalms show so much of the creation. In Psalms 90, in verse 2, he says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, you've formed them all, you've created them, you're the creator. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So Moses proclaiming the Lord, he is the creator. He alone is God. So there's no peace of mind apart from knowing all things are created around us and that behind our own bodies, think about it, our own bodies, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. And how a doctor cannot believe in the living God is beyond me. But there's blinders. But they look deeper and deeper into the cells, into the DNA, into the structure and everything. And it goes so deep. And they still haven't got to the bottom. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. This is the mind and the will of God, my creator, my father, who has created me. So he has this plan. He has this purpose for his creation. In fact, I found a scripture in Revelation chapter 4. Verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, John writes, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. All of a sudden you realize, God created me for his pleasure. I am his creation. And so when I am doing that which pleases him in my life, I'm the most blessed. I was created to please him. Created to serve him. Created to love him. And when I'm doing that, I'm awesome. I'm good. Because I'm doing that which I was created to do. And everything just falls into place. And there's a blessing. Even though we're living in a world that's deteriorating daily, and it's not getting any better. It's winding down. And it's the problem is sin. Romans chapter 1 again. We can be sure that he that began a work, this good work in me, will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. He began this work, he's going to complete it. Over in 1 Samuel, here in 1 Samuel chapter 3, in verse 12, he says, when I begin, God says, I will also make an end. When I begin, I will also make an end. So God is beginning here, but he's beginning with the end in mind. And what is the end in mind? That Jesus Christ would come back and rule and reign on planet Earth. And that the earth and the people in the earth would be redeemed. And that's the plan. So his purpose, he said, I began this thing and I'm going to end it. I'm not always going to strive with man. There's coming a time where enough's enough. God's wrath will come down. First, he'll take his church up. And then this earth is going to, it's payday. Now, what's beautiful about when you discuss these things with people that don't understand totally this whole thing of God creating the earth, it's interesting as you bring them back to Jesus and just say, Jesus is the Son of God, and God sent his Son. He was here. And Jesus quoted, and talked about Adam and Eve. He affirmed that they were here. He affirmed that there was creation. Over and over again, it's all about what Jesus said. If Jesus said, if you've seen me, you what? Seen the Father. You see? He's God incarnate. So, naturally, God says, you know, follow my son. Believe in my son. He'll bring you right to me. And there'll be a relationship. And, oh, man. But it's always been all about Jesus. So, from our beginning, and here's where we start right here, from Adam to Abraham are the first 11 chapters. The first 11 chapters cover 2,000 years. I mean, that's how fast. We're going to go through 11 chapters, 2,000 years. And then the last chapters, 12 through 50 of Genesis, we're going to cover 350 years. That's it. 12 to 50, 350 years. But then from Genesis all the way to Matthew is 2,000 more years. And then, of course, here we are today, approximately 2,000 more years. So there is 6,000 years right there. Now, what is the plan in the beginning? We're going to be introduced to sin. We're going to be introduced to judgment upon sin. God's plan to save mankind, it's going to be so clear. His redemption is unbelievable. In fact, over in Genesis 3, look with me into Genesis 3:15. Right out of the chute, we get it. And in Genesis 3:15, he says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed," talking about the enemy, Satan, "and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." So right out of the thing, it's talking about this answer to salvation, this redemption that he is going to bring forth through the seed. And the seed is so important. How many times did the enemy try to destroy that seed? Number of times throughout the scriptures. And that was the seed of the Messiah, right? And there's a scarlet thread that goes all the way through the scriptures. It's powerful. So God's redemption. Over in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, God called Abram then out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. He just chose Abraham, said, leave that idol place, and I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless thee. And then he says, and I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So we're introduced to Abraham. And God brought this seed, see, through Abraham now, who is the father of our faith, the father of righteousness. He believed God, and righteousness was given unto him. Just as we believe God, the righteous, we stand in the righteousness which is in Christ Jesus. And when God looks at us, he sees Christ in us, and we stand in his righteousness. Now, all the way back to Genesis 49. In Genesis 49, it says in verse 10 that the scepter shall not depart from Judah. So the one that's going to lead the government shall be upon his shoulders, shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh, which is a name for Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, comes, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So we know that through Jesus Christ would be the Messiah, the Savior, finally. So Genesis gives us all this beginning. G. Campbell Morgan talks about Genesis as a cycle of generations, of degenerations, and of regenerations. I mean, it's just a mulling over. It's just generation upon generation, but then there's all kinds of regenerations and degenerations, and we'll see it as we go through here. And so the Word of the Lord, very important book, God's Word, the bestseller. It's gone by every other book. There's not a bestseller that's even got near the sales of this book. Why? Because God wrote it. And so every man, woman, and child, if they're going to be any kind of person, they have a Bible. People get into the Word. And it needs to be studied. It needs to be understood. That's why we're here tonight. And if it isn't God's Word, and, you know, there's people that say, this is just man put it together. Well, no, it's more than that. God put it together with 66 books, with 40 authors, and three languages, and it all says the same thing. It is over and over again applying redemption, judgment, you know, salvation, and just revelation from the Lord. And it's just telling us who our God is and how much he loves us. That's why we need to read the book. That's why we need to stay in it. That's why you need to always have a little Bible with you, no matter where you go. If you're in the doctor's office, get out your little switchblade, if you got it in your purse. If you got the, you know, you carry it around, it's a little bigger, it's called a sword. And, you know, and just get into it. But it's the most important book you can ever get into. I remember when I would go to work, I have it in my lunchbox, and I'd just open it up, and I'd eat my lunch real quick, and then I'd get into the book of Acts and get into it, finding out what is my history as a Christian. The book of Acts. And I learn that and then get into the Gospel of John and then go to that and somewhere else. We need to know the Word. If you're lacking faith, faith comes by hearing and that of the Word of God. So if it is the Word of God, we better listen. Over in Psalm 33 in verse 11, listen to this. Psalm 33, 11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The thoughts of his heart are to all generations. So this is to every man, woman, and child throughout all the history of the world. And his counsels stand, it says. I believe my God is so big that he can take a book and make it holy. And so it says in Peter that God moved by his Spirit upon holy men of God. And he began to breathe through them his word to us. This is God's very word. The Bible does not contradict itself. And there was a literal flood. There was a literal ark on Mount Ararat. And it's not here to teach us geology. It's not here to teach us biology, even though it's full of those things. It's not a science book, even though it's full of that throughout. There was a literal Sodom. I mean, these things really happened. I remember getting out of the bus there in south of the Dead Sea on the Jordan side and looking at all these rocks that are real heavy rocks. They look like they fell out of, you know, space. They're molten lava. And just I asked the guide there, what are these? He goes, we don't know. But it's all over this area where Sodom and Gomorrah used to be. And it's just in that one area. And it's a huge area, but I just got out the word and started reading in Genesis and telling everybody, guys, this was Sodom and Gomorrah. This is the brimstone that fell from heaven. Man, everybody's grabbing rocks, and we could hardly move the bus. No. I got them at home as they hold doors, you know, and heavy-duty black rocks. Everybody's just, ugh, you know. And that's it. Reality. That's what was there. It's not there now. And where did this molten lava come from? From heaven, and it came down and just burned up Sodom and Gomorrah. So he is the creator. This is his autobiography. Abraham's story is interesting. It says that the gods of the heathens are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. And in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26, key verse, he says, this is 40:26. He says, lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who hath created these things that brings forth their host by number. He calls them by name. He named all the stars by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. And so as he created all the stars and through the planets, he just kind of went and just spun them out there, and they're still spinning. And, you know, God's breathed on the universe and created the universe. It's interesting about the Milky Way galaxy. It's 30 billion stars. And in those 30 billion stars, there's many of them bigger than our sun. I mean, huge. 1.5 million times larger than the Earth. 200,000 light years long. And 100,000 more like our galaxy. 100,000 more galaxies are out there that they're discovering. I mean, what God has created. How far is heaven? I don't know. It seems like it's light years away, though. I mean, we're talking about 1 million light years apart that these galaxies are. And they just keep going and going and going. So he created it all. Over in Isaiah 45 and verse 18, listen to this. 45:18. For thus says the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain or empty or void. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. He formed this earth so we could inhabit it. And he made it a place so we could breathe, eat, grow up, understand, get to know him. This life is it, man. This is the only shot we have. And I believe that God's given this life to everyone to give them an opportunity to know him.
Well, that's Pastor Jeff Johnson on Sound Doctrine, and he's in the early stages of our study in the book of Genesis. He'll be right back with more. Remember, you can access these daily studies by visiting our website. Log on to sounddoctrineradio.org to purchase the CD. Call 800-353-7553. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. We also have a podcast available, and that's available on Stitcher, Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. You know, it's always a good idea to consider and, if need be, rekindle our devotional life, especially here at the beginning of a new year. And we've got a great Devo to share with you today. You're sure to enjoy. It's been written by Calvary pastors like Skip Heitzig, Joe Foch, Jeff Johnson, Greg Laurie, Raul Reese, and more. It's a daily devotional with Calvary Chapel pastors. I know you'll be blessed and encouraged as you start your day hearing from the Lord. Order it now by calling 800-353-7553 or online at sounddoctrineradio.org. And we'd appreciate your support as we kick off another year of delivering sound doctrine through the radio and the internet. As we continue to present God's good news on this station of yours, we look to the Lord to provide. And maybe that provision will come through you. Again, go to sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. One last request, and that is to simply email us. We want to know how the Lord is using sound doctrine in your life. You can email us at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Again, that's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Now, we left off in Genesis chapter 1 at verse 2. Here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of his message, the beginning.
Not only did he create heaven and earth, and the earth, or actually the better way to put it was, but the earth was, and they've come to discover that the Hebrew there is more of a became, that the earth became without void, or without form and void, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So something took place here after God created the heavens and the earth. You know, it's beautiful. It's awesome. Whatever God creates, it's awesome. It's great. It's perfect, right? Because he's a perfect God. But something happens between verse 1 and verse 2. They call it the gap theory, and I lean towards it. I can't really, you know, understand some of these other theories that are out there as far as what took place here. This really helps me to understand when Satan came to this earth, what happened when Satan got here, because we know that something took place. As you look around and those keep digging and finding out what this world has gone through, something horrific took place here that man doesn't understand. But God explains it here. He said, but the earth became without form and void, empty. Now, I believe it was when God created the angels, he created these perfect beings. But they're not perfect in that they could decide whether to serve him or not. And Lucifer, who was a high-ranking worship, he led worship in heaven. Can you imagine a worship leader? Backslid big time. Rebelled against God. You want to read about it? Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14. Put it down and you read about his rebellion in heaven. Interesting, as he rebelled in Revelation chapter 12, he pulled down one third of the angels with him to this earth. And this earth, I believe, became void, without form. There was darkness. Darkness is a part of Satan's work. Darkness, God doesn't dwell in darkness. And so the whole place was in darkness because of his rebellion. And it's interesting that the earth has always been a reflection of it, of its inhabitants. And so darkness was there.
The creation account continues next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. The presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey, online at sounddoctrineradio.org. So Father,